It is so good to welcome you to The Encouraging Word featuring Dr. Don Wilton. That's the unique South African brogue you heard just moments ago beginning our broadcast together. Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, and pastor, is bringing us the conclusion to a wonderful message about the greatest ally of the home. As we study the Word together, know that we're available for you. We're connecting keyboard to keyboard right now at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. We'd love to meet you there, connect you with free resources, including the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide, and so many other resources that will help grow your faith. Plus, you can call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
This is a divine promise. I didn't say it. Southern Baptists didn't say it. Catholics didn't say it. Methodists didn't say it. Episcopalians didn't say it. No preacher said it. Jesus said it. It is a divine promise, but it also carries a divine perspective. This certain future, it's got a divine perspective. It keeps our perspective in mind. What's our perspective in the church? This church that is built on a solid foundation, this church that is built with a certain future, it keeps us in perspective because it tells us that whatever we do, we must have a total reliance on God at all times. This is the house of the Lord. I have wonderful people, and please don't misunderstand me. You can say this to me anytime. But I have wonderful people who come up to me and say, "Boy, Dr. Wilton, we love your church." And I thank you for that. I do too. But it's not my church. It's the Lord's church. I want you to hear me. There's nothing wrong with that. I go to people. Because this has been built with a certain future on a solid foundation is that there is nothing more important for us to do than to know and to do the will of God. That's why many churches are in trouble today, folks. Next week, I'm telling you, next week is going to be one of the most incredibly significant messages I've ever preached in this church for this congregation. It'll boggle your mind what God has done. I'm going to show you things that you and I have never seen. I've never seen some of these things. We're going to put it right down there. Our ministries across the board are gathering stuff. Going to be a remarkable time as we come together next week to worship the Lord just in this one place, as churches do all across the universe, the gathering together of God's people. And I want to tell you, folks, there's a world out there, and we learn from the world. We gather data from the world. We develop wisdom from the things that we learn. But when we understand these biblical truths, it's no wonder that you can never run a church on business principles. You cannot apply the principles of a business organization to the local church of God. You cannot do that because this is the house of God. It is built on a solid foundation. It has a certain future. It gives to us God's divine promise, and it holds us in check with a divine perspective that everything that we do, we must rely on the finished work of Jesus Christ as it is expressed through His people. Number three, it is built with a wonderful fellowship. Now, I love this about the church, the greatest ally of the home. It is built with a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful fellowship. Number one, with Jesus Christ at the head. He's the head of this church. What is Jesus to this church? Well, He's the builder. He's the architect. He's the owner. He's the Lord. We left anything out? He's the head of this church. Now, by what virtue can we say that? He's the head of the church, my friend, this wonderful fellowship. Number one, because the church has been purchased by Him, according to the book of Acts and chapter 20. We were purchased. We were bought with a price, with the blood of Jesus Christ. The church was purchased by him. Number two, Christ is the head because the church is one with him. I love this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. The one who joins himself to the Lord is one with him. So not only is the church purchased by him, not only is the church one with him, but the church is identified with him. I love what Zechariah said. He said, he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. I love that, don't you? That just tickles my liver, folks, to hear that. Because I'm a father. Because I've got children. You know when people start messing with your children or with your wife or people that you love, and you know your kind of hackles rise. And that's why, folks, we love each other and we protect one another, and we very quick to come to the defense and say, listen, you can say whatever you say, but don't you ever say that to my wife. Whatever it is, whatever circumstance. Folks, let me tell you something. All this bound in the wonderful love and grace of God, we're going to discover in just a moment, my friends, that this church is a wonderful church because it's a wonderful fellowship with Jesus Christ at the head. And number two, with believers at the table. Now just think about this for a moment, that we, the bride of Christ, are invited to take a seat at the feast table of the King. All these fragments are invited to become joined to the rock. All these little Peters, all these little Dons, all these little Susans, all these little Jims, all these little people, all of us, all in our sinfulness, we are amalgamated and fused into the rock. And so who are we, this fellowship? Well, I don't have to remind us. I wish someone today would identify themselves and perhaps write me a letter, which some are prone to do. Say to me, Pastor, I want you to know that I'm God's perfect gift to mankind. I want you to know, if you've never been into this church in downtown Spartanburg, and I certainly hope you would come. I don't want to disappoint you, folks, but you're not going to find a single perfect person. Once in a very blue moon, I have somebody who comes by me and says, you know, I saw one of your leaders doing this and that and the next thing. Well, I'm not proud of that fact, but Rudy toot toot toot, what's your problem, big boy? Let me tell you something, folks. Who is this fellowship? We are old and we're young. We're children, boys and girls. We're married. We're divorced. We've had pain and suffering. We've experienced great blessings. I mean, we could run the whole gamut, but we've got one thing that's a common denominator with all people. We're sinners saved by the grace of God. That's the church. This is not a sanctuary for saints, folks. No, sir. Not a sanctuary for saints. That's why a long time ago in the history of this church, we stopped saying, well, you better do it this way. We don't do it any way, my friend. We do it God's way. The reason we do it God's way is that this door is open to all people, red and yellow and black and white, because all people are precious in God's sight, and all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And beside all of that, I desperately need the church. Because I cannot bring up my children with my limited knowledge and wisdom. And I cannot run my family or my business with my limited knowledge and wisdom. Oh, it is built with a wonderful fellowship. But number four, it is built with specific fabric. Now, I love this part. The word that is used here for church is the word ekklesia, which literally means called out ones. Now, folks, I'm about to get way out of my league here. My two mothers, my mother and my mother-in-law, love to knit. And my wife loves to knit. They are so good at it. I think, I don't know, ladies, but I don't see a lot of ladies knitting. I mean, you can't imagine what my wife does. She gets those two sticks, man. And I'm telling you, she sits there. And I'm in the middle of important things like ball games and things like that. Or we're doing something very important in our family, like cooking a decent slab of meat outside. My wife can sit there, talk, look around. She got one little finger out this way. And over on this side's a big ball of stuff. And I tell you, she just jerks a little here, and she does that and that, and then she jerks on this side. Then she brings the yellow in from over here, and then she turns this one down, and she doesn't even see. She told her, how are you doing? Yes, and I know, and what's the baby doing today? And did you change a diaper? And I'm telling you, I mean just all this, and this little finger goes, pulls over here, and this side over here, and just all the rest. And all the while, unraveling is the most beautiful looking jersey or scarf or hat or something that she's making. I mean, it just begins to unfold from a mosaic of fragmented pieces of cotton and stuff. What word am I looking for, ladies? Yawn? We'll stick with stuff right now. You know, just think about this with me for a moment, folks. God takes the fabric of the world. All of us, different walks of life and communities and likes and dislikes and this way and that way. And through Jesus Christ, He just weaves us together into the body of Christ. What does it mean that we are a special fabric? We're the called out ones. We have a common identity. What exactly does it mean? It means that we are a gathering of God's people. That's what the church is. It's a gathering together. Folk, never let it be said in this congregation that we go to church to find people just like ourselves, because then we're not a church. It's a gathering together of God's people. If we are a specific fabric, the called out ones, we are a community of God's people. But furthermore, we are organized as God's people to accomplish the purpose of God. The organization of the gathering of God's people is because we are called to be a community of called out ones who rise up like cream to the top, so that in the turbulent times and in these last days that we will stand strong and that we will be counted for the righteousness and the holiness of Almighty God. It's a remarkable thing. This called the church, the greatest ally of the home, number five, because it is built as an impenetrable fortress. Look what the Lord Jesus says here in the latter part of verse 18. He says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. By the way, could I just settle a theological argument here? Gates do not conquer. Gates do not wage war. Gates protect. And when Jesus looked into the face of the disciples at the institution of the New Testament church, He made a profound statement about the function of the New Testament church. He said, amongst many other things, my church, the rock upon which it is founded, is designed to provide my people with God's protection, not to be sent out to wage war. That is not God's purpose. God is telling us, my friends, something here uniquely significant. I wish I had time to tell you the difference between Hades and hell. But what He is saying at this point is that the abode of death or the victim of sin will not be the church. God will protect the church from being overcome by the abode of death. I want you to just think about that, folks. Here I am, I'm father, businessman, husband, whatever my circumstances in life. Jesus Christ gave to me something in addition to many special things that He's given to me, like my home and my wife and a precious group of people that love me. He's given to me His church. He said, listen, I'm not just giving to you my church, I'm giving to you an impenetrable fortress. And I'm inviting you, as I did Peter, you little fragment of the rock, I'm inviting you, I'm giving you permission to become one with
this impenetrable fortress. You mean to tell me that I have the privilege of growing up in this turbulent world surrounded by gates that provide me with an impenetrable fortress? That's the church. Folks, many churches today run in trouble because they don't want to do it God's way. So what do the chains of death mean? What it simply means is that the chains of death, number one, will never overpower the church, and the chains of death, number two, will never hold captive the church. Never. I want you to just think for a moment over the centuries how many efforts there have been to eliminate the church of God, to wipe out Christianity, to erase the name of Jesus. Can't do it. Not the most sophisticated weapons, not the most antagonistic peoples cannot prevail against the church because it is built as an impenetrable fortress. Let me tell you something, folks. I like to run to all places to seek shelter, but there's no greater place to be than in the church.
And don't we all need that kind of fortress? Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back with the completion of today's message, The Greatest Ally of the Home, with Dr. Don Wilton in just a moment. But he insists we interrupt to remind you that we're here for you. We're connecting both on the phone and on the keyboards. Our website is theencouragingword.org, a great place to follow Dr. Don on his social medias. Or if you'd like to, if you're at the keyboard, let us know how God's working through the ministry of The Encouraging Word. Let Don know. It's just Don, D-O-N, at theencouragingword.org. That's his email. Obviously, his email load is pretty intense, so it takes a little while to get back with you, but he will respond. But we'd meet you right away on the phone at 866-899. Word. Again, Dr. Don's friends, all of us are connected with that particular resource to meet you there anytime, night or day, 866-899-9673 or keyboard to keyboard at theencouragingword.org. Now back to the conclusion of today's message, The Greatest Ally of the Home, with Dr. Don Wilton.
You leave your children, if you're a father or a mother today, and you grow up in a community and you say, oh, I love the Lord, but I don't need the church. You encourage your children to be anywhere but in the church. You'll pay the consequences for it. You'll pay the consequences. I can line up people after people, my friends, who have said, listen, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I participate, but I'll be honest with you, I never insisted that my children be in church. I acquiesced. I gave way to their will. I joined them in their disobedience. I said, it doesn't matter. We'll look for an alternative. Folks, I want to beg with you with all of my heart as the people of God, as you bring up your sons and daughters, it is not an option to be partnered together in the church. This is not something to do with a Baptist church. This is what God teaches us. This is why Jesus Christ instituted his church.
Number six. And finally, because it is built with absolute finality. I love this year. Verse 19 just is an amazing verse. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I grew up in the English world and 21st birthdays were very important. They were important, my friends, because at your 21st birthday, your parents symbolically gave you a key and threw a big party for you and welcomed you as a co-equal adult into their world. Well, Jesus Christ says that through the church, we are given the keys to the kingdom. Now, just listen to this, folks. And those keys are multifaceted in expression. The keys unlock the ability to bind, that is to forbid, the things that ought to be forbidden. And to loose, that is to permit or to give permission to those things that need to be permitted. Now, let me just translate this with you if you're having any problem. That means parents, that means youth workers, that means discipleship leaders, that God, through the church, has told us that we've got a privilege that goes beyond anything that we could ever ask or even think. We've got the authority of God to forbid and to permit. You better believe it. Your church says it's not a good idea. You better take note. You know, it's one of my favorite hobby horses. Bothers the daylights out of me how many senior graduates, first thing they do when they graduate is go down to Myrtle Beach to sow their wild oats.
and how many go with their parents' blessings. I reject that. I do not allow my children to do that. Any questions? I don't just say no. We provide alternatives that boggle the mind, but I don't believe that that builds up. I am not going to give my daughter permission to go down and get drunk and be exposed to all that sexual adultery and all that garbage. I will not do it. I'm not going to do it. It's not open to negotiation, compromise. I'm not going to give my children permission. Say, listen, why don't you go with my blessing? Now that you've graduated, go and taste the world a little bit. Go and get pregnant. Go and run around naked on the beach. Go and go hog wild. Go on, man. That's what young people do. No, sir. But I'll tell you what, my children will tell you that the alternative that we provide is out of this world. We go hog wild in other ways. Bible says those who confess Jesus Christ have the authority to forbid and the authority to let loose, give permission. It's an amazing thing. How does the church do this? Number one, by introducing people to Jesus Christ through the word and through witness. All of you have got a card this morning that looks like this. In a moment, you can take it out. It's called an expression of commitment. That's what we do in the church. We witness through the word, through faith. I want you to check that out in a moment. I'll ask you to pass that down with your registrations. How does the church do this? By equipping people to serve Jesus. How does the church do this? By holding people accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ. That little word, accountability, is interesting, folks. It's an amazing word. Really is an amazing word. The church does that. I need to be held accountable. I don't say this to a lot of people, and I'm glad we've gone off the air. I can say this to you because you'll understand it. I was at the hospital this week, and one of our college students was there and walked with me from the seventh floor in the tower down to ground level. From the top floor down to ground level, no less than 11 people that I'd never seen in my life before, precious, wonderful people, stopped me. From the seventh floor to the bottom floor. Wonderful, precious people, every single one of them with a need. When we got to the revolving door down there, she turned to me, she said, "Goodness me, Dr. Wilton, does this happen to you all the time? Because it took us a long time to get down seven floors." I said, "Welcome to my world." Now, folks, I want to tell you there's no greater joy than serving as your pastor, but I can't go to a restaurant without being held accountable. I'm dead in the box if I go to Westgate Mall. I can't take two steps. My children, if you see me in a restaurant with I'm facing the wall every time because my children want me to face the wall so I can actually talk to them. I can't take two steps. Folks, I cannot even pick my nose in public. I told you we're sinners saved by the grace of God. Listen to me, folks. Listen. I get told, oops, I got my hand in my pocket. I get letters saying that I love my curly hair at the back of my head. Then I go and get a haircut and they write me a letter telling me, why did I get a haircut? 3 weeks later, I get another letter saying, you need to cut your hair, boy. Don't put your hands in your pocket. You got the wrong tie on. Doesn't match. Did you know that I wear clothes that don't match? Can I tell you something? Some of you look at me and you say to me, gee whiz, pastor. No, folks. I wouldn't be anywhere. I love being your pastor. This is the most unbelievable privilege. I'm telling you. I have made a decision that I'm not going to cut my hair for the next 5 years. You know, I've just got a suspicion you'd still love me despite that. Do you know that? If I looked like a beatnik, you'd love me. Folks, listen to this as we close this today. Listen. What is the church? Church introduces people to Jesus. The church equips us. The church holds us accountable. The church keeps us focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, if it wasn't for the church, man, my eyes would go all over the place. The church inspires people like you and me to lead like Jesus.
That's what it does. Because I struggle with that, you know? I struggle with that. I'm a human being. You're a human being. We get out there in the business world and we got this appointment. We go that, man. We struggle with that, folks, all of us. But we've got the church. You know, every time I come to church, you say, well, Pastor, surely not preaching the word like it's no different for me. We all go through the same things, but we've got the church. Bottom line here, bottom line. The church is the greatest ally of the home. Friends, I thank God for our church. I really do. I just thank the Lord for this gathering. Right across the board, all the things that we do. I mean, it's just so big and vast. And next week, folks, I didn't want to say this a few moments ago, but next week, God has put in my heart, I'm going to be putting some things on the table for you to see next week that are the most precious things that I have ever seen. Answering questions that maybe you've wondered about for years. Analyzing. I'm asking the Lord, by the way, next week that He would let me even say with all the love in my heart some of the things that we need to be doing that we're not doing, folks. And by God's grace, I'm going to say it. If the Lord puts it in my heart, but only with one purpose, that we would serve Him more, that we would open our hearts more, that we would be more generous, that we would witness more, that we would understand the precious gift God has given to us, that our children can be born in a place like this, can be married in a place like this, our sons and daughters can be involved in a youth group like this, that our senior adults have a place. I mean, you could go on and on and on and on. It is an inestimable privilege to be partnered together in a church. And we've got work to do. I can't wait. I can't wait. Guess what? Even as we speak, we're not waiting. We're doing it right now. Our number one responsibility is to worship the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to come together to worship the Lord?
And isn't worship such a wonderful tool? It's a tool even against the enemy himself. As we praise the name of Jesus, God inhabits the praises of His people. And just as promised, we have some closing thoughts from our pastor and chief encourager here at The Encouraging Word, Dr. Don Wilton.
Well, here I am again. What a day this has been. You know, one of the things I want to say to you is let's stay connected. You know, we've got so many means to be able to do that. You can write to us, email us. You've got all the details right there in front of us. We're a family together. We stay connected in so many ways. And your life is very important to me. I see you there. And God shows me. And I want to be able to pray with you and connect with you and be a vital part of your relationship, your growth. Your needs are mine. I'm walking in your shoes. And I want to pray for you. Please don't stop. Call us, write us, keep praying, keep giving, keep connecting, keep rejoicing, keep celebrating, keep striving. God is on His throne. This is The Encouraging Word. And now you know why.